Kanjana. Yashodanandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivastadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Jai Prabhupada. Jai Vishwapad Paramahansa Parijagacharya Stotra Siddha Shri Srimad Abhayachanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Jai Vishwapad Paramahansa Parijagacharya Stotra Siddha Shri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Shri Prabhupada Ki. Jai Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. Jai. So reading from Canto 7, Chapter 14, Ideal Family Life, Text 19. Kuryat aparapakshiyam masti proshtapade dvija shraddham pitroryathavittam tat bandunam chavittavan kuryad aparapakshiyam masi proshtapade dvija shraddham pitroryathavittam tat bandunam chavittavan Kuryat aparapakshiyam masi proshtapade dvija shraddham pitroryathavittam tadbandunam chavittavan. Kuryat aparapakshiyam Masi proshtapade dvija shraddham pitroryathavittam tadbandunam chavittavan kuryadaparapakshiyam masi proshtapade dvija shraddham pitroryathavittam tadbandunam chavittavan kuryat aparapakshiyam masi proshtapade dvija adapitavrithavittam tadbandunam chavittavan Kuryat, one should perform aparapakshiyam during the fortnight of the dark moon, masi, in the month of Ashwin, October, November, proshtapade, in the month of Bhadra, August, September, dvija, twice born, shraddham, oblations, Pitro, unto the forefathers, Yathavittam, according to one's means of income, Tat Bandhunam, Cha, as well as relatives of forefathers, Vittavan, one who is sufficiently rich. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A Brahmana who is sufficiently rich must offer oblations to the forefathers during the dark moon fortnight in the latter part of the month of Bhadra. Similarly, he should offer oblations to the relatives of the forefathers during the Mahalaya ceremonies in the month of Ashwin. So it doesn't have any purport, so we'll read the next verse or set of verses from text 20 to 23. And we'll read the purport for it. Ayane Vishuve Kurya Pyati Vyati Pate Dinakshaye Chandraditya Paragecha Dvadashyam Shravaneshucha Tritiyayam Shuklapakshe Navamyam Atha Kartike Chatarshrishvapi Akshtakasu Hemante Shishire Tatha Magecha Sitasam Saptamyam Magha Raka Samagame Rakaya Chanumatyacha Masarkshani Yutanyapi Dvadashyam Anuradhasyach Shravanas Tisra Uttara Tisrishva Ekadashivasu Janmarksha Shona Yoga Yuk. Translation: one should perform the Shraddha ceremony on the Makara Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move north, or on the Karkata Sankranti, the day when the sun begins to move south. One should also perform this ceremony on the Mesha Sankranti day and the Tula Sankranti day in the yoga named Vyatipat, on that day in which three lunar tithis are conjoined during an eclipse of either the moon or the sun, on the 12th lunar day, and in the Shravana Nakshatra. One should perform the ceremony on the Akshaya Tritiya day, on the 9th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Kartik, on the 4 Ashtakas in the winter season and cool season, on the 7th lunar day of the bright fortnight of the month of Magha, during the conjunction of Magha Nakshatra and the full moon day, and on the days when the moon is completely full and not quite completely full, when these days are conjoined with the nakshatras from which the names of certain months are derived. One should also perform the Shraddha ceremony on the 12th lunar day when it is in conjunction with any of the nakshatras named Anuradha, Shravana, Uttara Falguni, Uttara Shadha, or Uttara Bhadrapada. Again, one should perform the ceremony when the 11th lunar day is in conjunction with either Uttara Falguni, Uttara Shadha, or Uttara Bhadrapada. Finally, one should perform the ceremony on days conjoined with one's own birth star, Janma Nakshatra, or with Shravana Nakshatra. Yeah, makes sense? Okay, then we read the purport. The word Ayana means path or going. The 6 months when the sun moves toward the north are called Uttarayana, or the northern path. And the 6 months when it moves south are called Dakshinayana, or the southern path. These are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 8, verse 24-25. The first day when the sun begins to move north and enter the zodiacal sign of Capricorn is called Makara Sankranti. And the first day when the sun begins to move south and enter the sign of Cancer is called Karkata Sankranti. On these 2 days of the year, one should perform the Shraddha ceremony. Vishuva or Vishuva Sankranti means Mesha Sankranti, or the day on which the sun enters the sign Aries. Tula Sankranti is the day on which the sun enters the sign Libra. Both of these days occur only once within a year. The word yoga refers to a certain relationship between the sun and moon as they move in the sky. There are 27 different degrees of yoga, of which the 17th is called Vyatipat. On the day when this occurs, one should perform the Shraddha ceremony. A tithi or lunar day consists of the distance between the longitude of the sun and that of the moon. Sometimes the tithi is less than 24 hours when it starts after sunrise on a certain day and ends before the sunrise of the following day. The previous tithi and the following tithi both touch the 24-hour day between the sunrises. This is called Triha Sparsha, or a day touched by some portion of three tithis. Srila Jiva Goswami has given quotations from many shastras stating that the Shraddha ceremony of oblations to the forefathers should not be performed on Ekadashi Tithi. When the tithi of the death anniversary falls on the Ekadashi day, the Shraddha ceremony should be held not on Ekadashi, but on the next day or Dwadashi. In the Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it is said, Ye kurvanti mahipala shraddham Shraddham Chaikadashi Dine Tratrayaste Narakam Yanti Data Bhokta Cha Preraka. If one performs the Shraddha ceremony of oblations to the forefathers on the Ekadashi Tithi, then the performer, the forefathers of whom the Shraddha is observed, and the Purohita or the family priest who encourages the ceremony all go to hell. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. This is a very nice translation and purport. Does anyone remember anything from it? The zodiac signs. Yes. Any names? Actually, when I read this verse and the purport, I had no clue. Because everything mentioned in these is far out, something that we don't really discuss so much or heard of or read of so much. But just continuing with the theme of this chapter, it's describing the process of the Grihastha Dharma of the householders, and is spoken by Narad Muni, who is himself a renunciant, to Yudhishthir Maharaj, who is a householder. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was very curious to know about all the duties of the householders and how they should perform. And Narad Muni is kindly explaining all the different processes that the householders need to follow. And in the continuation, this is one of the processes that's explained. So in general, it's explained that the family life can be quite entangling. A lot of times, you know, we have the family, there's kids, there's finances, there's car, loans, there's house, there's so many things that can entangle a person. And so then what to do in such circumstances is you know, the Shankaracharya says that just give up and take sannyas. But that's not practical. And so therefore Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has advised, he says, Grihe Dako, Vane Dako, Sadahari Bole Dako. He says, whether you are in the forest or whether you are at home, to chant Hare Krishna, chant the name of Hari. Because even if you take sannyas, but if you're not chanting the name of Krishna, then that sannyas is a waste of time. But if you're a householder, and if you're following the process of Krishna consciousness, then your family life is not different from Paramhamsa. It's perfect, it's great. And so we can say, otherwise it's not padayat jadi ratim shrama eva hi kevalam. So Bhagavatam explains that any process, any lifestyle, if it doesn't have Krishna consciousness there, then it's a waste of time. So we can see many great examples actually. I remember one time in one of the retreats, there were two very senior devotees. One was a sannyasi, both Prabhupada disciples. One was a sannyasi and one was a grihastha. And sannyasi, the devotee, and he mentioned, it was his time for giving the class, and he was mentioning that actually because this devotee, such and such devotee, who has been the temple president, who has done many responsible services in the Krishna consciousness movement over many decades, and he has two or three daughters, and they're all devotees, they're all initiated. And so he was explaining, and he was glorifying this devotee, and he was showing how materially he has been so responsible, because he has done, I think he was a lawyer or something to do with law, is what he has done all his life, and very successful professionally. Spiritually, he has lived very successfully. And so the sannyasi was mentioning that actually these devotees is about probably more successful than a sannyasi. And so he was glorifying, and he was saying that that's what the world needs more these days, is that such exemplary householders who can actually show to the rest of the world how a householder life should be lived. And so that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged. And we can see in the examples of many different acharyas, great devotees, who have showed by their examples how a householder life is meant to be lived. Of course, that's not recommending all the brahmacharis to get married, because a brahmachari life allows one to live a simple life and just focus on chanting and preaching, but it's obviously not meant for everyone, and so many of the brahmacharis also get married. And overall, we see in Krishna consciousness we have more families than brahmacharis. So these teachings are quite helpful and useful for them. Many times, just in terms of relevance of this chapter, many times the devotees who are families, who are married before coming to Krishna consciousness, but then when they start coming along and then they start reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and they start showing the symptoms of renunciation, and they start showing that, I want to quit family, or I want to live in the temple, etc., etc. And so such renunciation is not really encouraged by devotees. And actually what they need to do is live a proper householder life, following in the principles as described in this chapter, which is quite amazing. And Narad Muni starts off explaining the glories of devotional life in householder life, and then he explains all the various duties. And here in this particular verse, or this series of verses that we read today, it's talking about the Shraddha ceremony. So when I read these verses and this purport, it reminded me of chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, and actually even chapter 8, parts of chapter 8 of Bhagavad Gita. Because when you read chapter 6 of Bhagavad Gita, all this series of verses which explains about how to control the mind and how to follow this process of yoga, and you should have a seat that's raised, not too high, not too low. You should have the deer skin. You should meditate between your nose, between your eyebrows, and focus on the tip of your nose, and all these intricate explanations. And if we just read the translations, we really get carried away and we really get confused. But then if you read the purports for each verse, Prabhupada explains that actually this is not practical, just chant Hare Krishna. Then in the next verse, the whole verse is explaining some intricate process about Ashtanga Yoga, but then Prabhupada will say, yeah, but this is not practical for this day and age, just follow Krishna consciousness. And every time Prabhupada will just bring it back to the same point. And sometimes some of the scholars, they don't like this when Prabhupada comes back every time to this Krishna consciousness. And I know one time one young boy, and he got a Bhagavad Gita, and a few weeks later he called me. He said, Prabhu, he said, I have one question about this Bhagavad Gita. He said, I can see that this Krishna is explaining different philosophy in different processes, but every time in the purport, this author is always mentioning Krishna consciousness. Every time, whatever Krishna says, whatever Arjuna says, in the purport, it explains, the author explains that just chant Hare Krishna. The Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he just keeps repeating over and over again, even when Krishna is not speaking that in the translation. And that was his question. He said, how is that? Of course, without this purport, it'll be very hard for us to understand the meaning of the translations, but also where these verses are going and what is that practical relevance for our life. And so therefore, these purports actually make it very easy for us to understand. So even in chapter 8, and that's Prabhupada actually refers in the purport, chapter 8, verse 24 and 25, where it's actually interesting, the verse explains how passing away during the influence of the fiery god in the light at an auspicious moment of the day, during the fortnight of the waxing moon, during the 6 months when the sun travels to the north. So, if we had to plan our departure based on this, it'll be difficult. So, can't even understand what it means. You know, that's our situation right now. Coming from whatever backgrounds we are, even coming from an Indian background, it's very hard to understand what to speak of rest of the world who don't really have so much of connection with this culture. So, again, in the purport to that verse, Prabhupada again brings it back. Just chant Hare Krishna, practice Krishna consciousness, make it simple for yourself. So this verse in particular is explaining about the Shraddha ceremony. So, it is said that we have debts to many living entities. The verse from Bhagavatam that explains that Devarshi Bhutapta Nirnam Prithinam. So, Devarshi Deva, demigods, rishi, sages, Devarshi Bhutapta, Bhuta, all the living entities, friends, relatives. So we have forefathers, we have debts to all these living, all these personalities, because demigods, because they're providing us all the material facilities, rishis, or the sages, because you can see all the parampara, all these devotees who have passed on this Bhagavatam, all the books to us so we can read them. Forefathers, the family lineage is what has given us the body, all the friends and relatives. So we have different debts, we have different things that we have received from them. And, you know, if you receive gift from someone, you're naturally grateful and that you want to give back, isn't it? That's just natural. One should be grateful when one receives something. And so here we have received so much from so many different living entities and personalities. So how can we be so ungrateful and say, oh, I won't care, I will just live for my own enjoyment? That's kind of the modern philosophy. People just live, just want to enjoy right now, just want to have a good time. And I remember one time I was on book distribution, and I gave one lady a book, and that lady said, no, please don't give me any book, or don't give me anything. I said, why not? He said, no, because if I get something from you, then I'll feel indebted. And I don't want to feel indebted to anybody. He said, I want to be free. I don't want any obligations to anybody. But actually, one is obligated all the time from so many different living entities. So Bhagavatam very aptly points out that actually you are indebted to all these living entities and personalities, and if one chooses to be ungrateful or not acknowledge that and not do what is necessary for it, then there are repercussions, there are reactions to not giving back. So here these particular verses, set of verses, they are talking about Shraddha ceremony, which is giving back to the forefathers. One time Agastya Muni, in his travels, he found this one tree and he saw all his forefathers hanging upside down in like formless kind of bodies. And it's a horrible scene, you know. Agastya Muni was shocked to see why has it happened. And it was revealed to him that actually he doesn't have a son and he hasn't done the Shraddha ceremony, so therefore all his forefathers are suffering. So he was a great sage, but even then there was this suffering from the forefathers. And so therefore in the Vedic times it's encouraged to have a putra. Putra means a son. Put means one of the hell, known as putra. Putra means one who delivers the forefathers from this hellish condition. So because of their karmic activities, they might have ended up in hellish planets, maybe in the Pitriloka, maybe in the ghostly bodies. And so the Shraddha ceremony actually helps to relieve all the forefathers from all this hellish condition, and actually helps them elevate and go to higher planets or to have a better body. But what is the process for the devotees? Chant Hare Krishna. So the verse which explains the Devarshi Bhutapta Niranam Pritirnam, it says, what is the process? It says, Sarvatma, Sarvatmana Ya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Parihitya Kartam. So it explains that actually the one who fully surrenders to Krishna and his devotional service, then he has no more debts to all these living entities. But if one hasn't taken the full shelter, then you still have the duty to your forefathers. So, and that's the reason why it's explained in this particular context of the family life or dharma of a family life. When you're doing so many activities, sometimes it might happen that you're not fully surrendered. Then in that case, you have to perform the Shraddha ceremony, and that is the way to pay back. So Prabhupada actually writes something very interesting in the purport, in the Bhagavatam, in this verse. And he mentions that people in general are only eager to receive benedictions from demigods, family members and society, because such benedictions are conducive to material sense enjoyment. So we have seen even people who don't believe in all these rituals, and many people who don't believe in all this demigod worship and everything, quite atheistic, but even then they will still do these pujas and yagyas and rituals just to make sure that no one is displeased, you know, and my material enjoyment is not hampered, you know. I'm buying a new house. I don't believe in all these demigods and yagyas and stuff, but anyway, let's just do it anyway, you know, because if they happen to be there, you know, I don't want my house to be in trouble, you know. Already struggling as it is, don't want more struggle, so let's just do it and get it done with. But so therefore it says here that actually the people worship all these personalities, demigods, forefathers, so they can give the benedictions, and so that we can have a good material sense gratification. Prabhupada continues that less intelligent persons consider such material progress to be the only goal of life and thus cannot appreciate the exalted position of pure devotional service. That is the only goal. What's the goal? Somehow have a good life in this, when you are around, because anyway, who cares and who knows what's after this life. So That's our modern situation. It's actually quite flawed. There are lots of challenges. The families are failing. The kids don't really, most of the time is spent in the daycare, watching TV, hanging out with friends who end up in all sort of negative association. And so when they learn about all these Kali Yuga activities, they think it's cool. You know, they think that by doing that, they'll attract more people and they'll have more friends and they'll become more famous and rich, because that's what it seems to be the case for all the rich and famous people, that that what they're doing is just different Kali Yuga activities. And so the society is quite a chaos right now, and they don't even know how to materially enjoy, and they can hardly enjoy themselves, so forget about doing all the Shraddha ceremony and helping the forefathers. Like, we read these words and the purport, and when I read them, nothing of made sense. And we haven't learned anything of this in our, as a growing up, you know. Parents have never taught anything like this. So we can see that to try and perform the ceremonies like this will be very difficult. And just the way how it works for the Karmakanda rituals is that if you're going to follow that, you have to follow that 100% strictly. Because if you make any mistakes, the bigger problem. You know, we have the story of King Nriga, who was so charitable that he was considered to be in the class with great kings like Shibi and Dasharath, who were so charitable. And it just happened to be that he gave, you know, even though he gave in charity 10,000 cows to these brahmanas, this one of these cows from one brahmana's field escaped and went into another brahmana's field. And then there was a fight between the two brahmanas of whose cow is it. And so they both went to King Nriga and complained. And Nriga thought it's just a simple problem, you know, one cow here or there. He said, okay, no problem, I'll give both of you 10,000 cows, you know, problem solved. But the brahman is like, no, you're not dealt with us fairly. He said, this is a cheating, and so therefore we curse you, that you become a lizard. So, and we can see that although King Nriga, who was following his duty perfectly, and even though he was showing that great example of charity, even then he ended up in problem and he had to take a body of a lizard. Of course, he was fortunate to be delivered and killed by Krishna himself. But with following all these processes as explained here of the Shraddha ceremony that you can only do on a certain days, and Prabhupada explained here that if you do it on an Ekadashi day, for example, you will end up in hell. Not just you, but also the Purohit and the forefathers. So there are many such restrictions also. So one has to be very, very careful. But for us, Krishna consciousness is the process which is very mercifully given by Prabhupada and his followers. And so in this purport, but not so much in this purport, but in the following purports, we'll again read how Prabhupada very aptly concludes with Krishna consciousness. All these processes are there, yes, but ultimately, if we just practice Krishna consciousness, then everything is achieved. And Prabhupada gives the example of, actually Bhagavatam gives the example of how when you water the roots of the tree, Yathataror Mula Nishachanana, he says, when you water the roots of the tree, then all the branches and twigs, everyone is fulfilled, everyone is nourished. And so similarly, we are trying to serve Krishna, and by serving Krishna, all the forefathers, demigods, rishis, friends, family, everyone is nourished, everyone is satisfied. There's another example also that is given. By satisfying the root, everyone is satisfied. That is, anyone else? Food. Food. When you satisfy the stomach, then all the parts of the body are satisfied. Prabhupada explains in the purport that by rubbing food to the different parts of the limbs, or different parts of the body, one is not satisfied. But actually by putting the food in the mouth, into the stomach, that's a proper process. And by doing that, all the parts of the body are satisfied. So, in that way we are doing the greatest service to the humanity, that you have all these processes to actually deliver the forefathers, to repay the debts to all these great personalities. Besides, by actually by just practicing devotional service, one is freed from all these debts. So in that way, it's the greatest, but the simplest solution. And so it's a great service that when we are giving these books to people in general, when people are reading these books, when people are learning about Krishna consciousness, it's very practical application. They can apply into their lives, and by that they can get the benefit. They can learn about the process of chanting Hare Krishna. They can learn about the process, 9 processes of devotional service. And by applying to any one of them or all of them, they can get the benefit. And then they're not obliged to follow all this process of Shraddha ceremony. Find out exactly which month it is, where the sun is traveling, what tithi it is, what conjunction it is, and nakshatra and ceremonies. It's very simple. So, saves us a lot of complications. So, in the purport here, in that purport to the same verse, where it's explained about all the debts, in the verse, Bhagavatam, Canto 11, verse, chapter 5, verse 41, and in that purport, Prabhupada explains something that's very nice, and we'll conclude with that. He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the source of all existence. Everything is emanating from Krishna. Everything is maintained by Krishna. And at the end, everything will merge to rest in Krishna. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the supreme benefactor, friend, protector, and well-wisher of every living entity. And if he is satisfied, then automatically the whole world will become satisfied. So Prabhupada perfectly concludes, you know, that, you know, if you're going to follow all these karma kanda rituals and processes, it's so complicated. So better if you just satisfy Krishna, and by doing that, everything will be perfect, everything will be complete. Prabhupada saying that automatically the whole world will become satisfied, or as much as they can be satisfied, because they cannot be fully satisfied by doing any service, but as much as possible they will become satisfied. So that's our process, and with this we conclude. Thank you very much. And if anyone has any questions or comments, corrections, yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, thanks for a nice class. I understand that, you know, that all these mundane or materialistic kamakanda rituals, all these, you know, pujas, yagyas, you know, all the shraddha ceremony is nullified if we just chant Hare Krishna, right? And it says that, you know, just by chanting Hare Krishna contains all the actual Vedic mantras anyway. That's why it's called the Maha Mantra. But then in our tradition, we see that we still perform yagyas in certain occasions, like initiation ceremonies or other ceremonies. And I am trying to understand, like, what's the point of performing those yagyas where we can just chant Hare Krishna as well? Is that just more of a ritualistic thing of like tradition that we're doing it, or is it something almost even greater than just chanting Hare Krishna? Can you help me understand that, please?
Yeah, nice question. So, one is that the rituals, they're part of the culture. And so as devotees, we are not averse to following these rituals for as long as they assist in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada established these yagyas, the certain aspects of the culture or the rituals that are favorable to Krishna consciousness, so we perform them. That's definitely one point to consider. And here we can see even our acharyas, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can see that they have followed different activities which are not directly Krishna conscious, but they followed it, one, because it's not averse to Krishna consciousness, and secondly, to set an example and so that the people in general don't see us as just people who are against all the cultural activities or rituals. So in that way, Krishna consciousness becomes acceptable even for practitioners of other forms of, you know, spirituality, who are still part of the Vedic culture, but just not directly practicing Krishna consciousness. So even they can appreciate what we are doing. So for both of these reasons, it's actually important. So that's why Rupa Goswami actually explained that any activities that are not directly against Krishna consciousness, one should not reject them. Otherwise, that's a false renunciation. It's a Falgu Vairagya. So we don't reject them. But at the same time, we understand that the highest activity is chanting Hare Krishna. So we know this example of Prabhupada when he was in his sannyas ceremony and there's this ritual of yagya was going on. But then there was Akinchandas Babaji who was just chanting Hare Krishna, and Prabhupada encouraged him to chant Hare Krishna. And I think at one point, I think he was chanting loudly and I think someone asked to just slow down or soften up a little bit, because it was distracting the rest of the ritual and process. But then Prabhupada indicated that no, keep going, keep chanting. Because he knew what is the most important activity. So that's why even when we are doing yagya upstairs, we are also chanting. The kirtan is going on while we follow the other activities. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. You mentioned how we have a debt to our forefathers, our parents, our family, who have given us this body. So Prabhu, we see Prabhupada says that we, if we're in Krishna consciousness, if we're chanting and we're performing devotional service, we don't have to pay debt to anyone. So how do we understand? Because we see our parents, they've given us this body and we have to pay our debt back. So, and if we are debted to someone, we have to do something for them. But we see chanting and devotional service is for our advancement. So, how can we pay our debt back to our parents?
A nice point. Actually, something I had written down to discuss, but I forgot. So, thank you for reminding. Actually, by chanting Hare Krishna, although it looks like a simple activity, actually, just by chanting Hare Krishna, if we actually perfect our chanting, then just by the power of our own chanting, we'll take our parents and our forefathers back to Godhead. So that's the greatest service, if you think about it. But at the same time, we are not negligent of the material responsibilities and duties. So we are still happy to assist our parents in various ways. Especially if your parents are devotees, then definitely has more than just the debt of giving you the body. They've also given you Krishna consciousness, so they are guru. So we have more of a debt to them. So we do what is required, but at the same time, we understand that this process of chanting Hare Krishna, although it looks very simple, is very powerful. And the debt is paid off to the extent of the sincerity of our chanting. So, someone who has just started chanting Hare Krishna, he cannot say that, or now I'm freed from all the debts. Not necessarily. As the verse explains, that one who has fully surrendered to the chanting of Hare Krishna, fully surrendered to Krishna, giving up all other activities, then Krishna will look after all the debts. But someone who hasn't fully given in to the chanting of Hare Krishna or to the Krishna conscious process, then there is still some debt. And so in that way, we still do what is required in our material responsibilities. And at the same time, we work on our chanting and work on our own Krishna consciousness. Because we can only do so much, materially speaking. You can only provide so much financially, physically, emotionally. So we try what we can, and we keep our focus in Krishna consciousness at the same time. So, is it okay? Okay. Thank you very much. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna,
hey, go to school.